We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Show is more important than any other mainstream media outlet.
The Breakfast Club.
Don't play with it, don't play with it, don't play with it. Come on, baby, let's play with it.
Break up, break up.
You think I'm coming here when this shit ain't hot?
DJ Envy and Charlamagne Tha God.
Being here next to all of you guys, it's really
big. It's one of my favorite shows to do. Just because y'all always keep it 100, y'all keep it real.
But what better place than here?
I think everybody should go on the Breakfast Club and start with that if you want to shake it up.
Yo, Charlamagne, Envy, what up? Are we live?
This is your time to get it off your chest.
I got an indoor pool, an outdoor pool.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
We can get on the phone right now. He'll tell you what it is.
We live?
Hello, who's this?
Oh, this is King.
Hey, what's up, brother? Get it off your chest.
Hey, I'm just part of the older generation expecting that the younger generation should retire the same age as them. Because I'm at work and I see these guys, you know, 60-some years old, working, and they old, man. I'm just like, man, I can't be that old when I retire. Well, you know what they say? Well, somebody told me back in the day, retirement is not an age, it's an income. I don't even know if I believe that anymore because there's people I know that make mad money, but they just love what they do.
Yeah, a lot of people love to work, and then a lot of people, you know, honestly don't know how to prepare for the future. You also got to think, you know, this is the generation where we're starting to learn more about financial freedom. So a lot of times, the generation before us didn't actually know how to retire, didn't know how to save so they can retire. So some people still have to work. That's why when you see sometimes when you go into those supermarkets and you go to those places and you see an older person working, you got to give them patience and help them out, because sometimes they're there because they have to and they're just trying to, you know, get by like everybody else.
Yeah. And you know what they say, when you stop moving, you know, you start to die.
Yeah.
So some people just want to keep moving. I guess that's maybe the profession I'm in, right? I'm an electrician. I'm in a tree out of Vegas right now. And, I mean, these guys just don't want to retire. They feel like if they retire, they're going to die.
Yeah, I mean, but that could be it too.
I mean,
and I'll be honest, I'd rather mess with an older electrician or older mechanic or an older doctor, because a lot of times they didn't seen everything. They didn't been through it.
You don't feel like that about your president.
Well,
you don't feel like that.
I mean, listen, he should have retired. I feel like it should be an age cap on presidents, just like they got time. If you ask me,
see, y'all want to see, y'all want everything else aged. You want your cognac aged,
right.
Your electrician aged, but when it comes to your president, you don't want no old president.
You know, usually a mechanic or electrician, like they've been through everything to see what works and what doesn't work. And a lot of this new generation, they you know rely on AI or computers to see what's wrong.
Yeah.
I'd rather them tell me, but my president, he keep falling.
Your president definitely keeps falling. I told you, the president need a caregiver.
Hello, who's this?
What's up? This is Craig.
Hey, what's up, bro? Get it off your chest.
Yeah, I was just going to. You want to find out about soccer for your son, right?
Uh huh.
Why don't you binge watch Ted Lasso?
Ted Lasso,
hilarious. My wife loves Ted Lasso. I mean, you are not.
Yeah, that'll give you a whole edification on it, man. You'd be good.
I just
happened to stumble across it, and it gave me a new love for the real football.
Are they serious? My wife watches that show.
What's that show? What's the show about?
It's a comedy,
it's a comedy, but at the same time, it gives you it tells you more like when you have you're like a novice about soccer. It gives you more what the pitch is, how they have training, how we call it practice, they call it training. We call it cleats, they call it boots. It's just little nuanced things that you pick up on just watching the show. I just happened to stumble across it one night because I was bored.
You know what's funny?
I got hooked.
It's funny you said that because I'm watching my son. He comes back to the car. He was like, training went good today. And I'm like, training? You had practice. He's like, no, that
exactly.
We trained.
We used to football. You know what I'm saying? Because my son went to college on a football scholarship. So I'm used to being, you know, football is just a different dynamic. But American football, rather. But you get more involved and more invested in them. And like Charlamagne said, yo, they get bread, bro.
Hey.
They get bread. They get injured a lot, too. They say they have a lot of CTE problems with them headbutting the ball and all that.
For real?
Mm-hmm. Hello, who's this?
Good morning.
I can hear you now. Good morning, Mama. Get it off your chest.
Good morning. This is the bus driver.
Peace, bus driver.
What's up, bus driver? My bus driver
MB,
from the Bronx.
I want my picture.
Huh?
MB, I want my picture.
Oh, I'm going to post a picture. That's right. Yeah, I ran into you at the airport. We were heading to Aruba, right?
Right.
How you doing, man? You being safe out there? This is our bus driver from the Bronx.
Yeah, I'm being safe. Just called to say good morning, that's all.
You just called to say good morning. All right, you be
good
safe out there.
I see
a bus driver got into an incident with somebody yesterday, so be safe out there.
Every day is something different, in the Bronx especially.
In the Bronx? The Bronx?
Well, be safe out there, Mama.
The Bronx is horrible.
Yeah, but then you be the same person screaming BX at a show. BX! BX! BX!
No, I don't. I be trying to duck. When they say BX, I be ducking. They say Brooklyn, I be like, yes.
Oh, my God. But get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Wake it up. This is your time to get it off your chest.
Keep calling.
800-585-1051. We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
This is Ashley.
Hey, Ashley. Good morning. Where you calling from?
Columbus.
Columbus. Okay.
Ohio.
Get it off your chest, Mama.
Okay, so I'm a stay-at-home mom, but I also have my business on the side, and I just feel like my husband is just so inconsiderate half the time. Like, he doesn't understand what I really do.
You know
like, in the amount of work that I actually do.
You know how you can fix that, Ashley?
Go
away for a day. And let everybody watch them six kids
but
on
when I go away for a day, my kids, they call me. I'll be like, where's your dad? They'll be like, oh, he's in the room.
Now you turn off your phone for one day and let him have to deal with feeding them kids, washing those kids, taking the kids out.
Why are you giving this bad advice?
That's down.
If your wife turned off her phone for one day, you'd have a fit.
Right, but then
no, don't turn off your phone, Ashley.
He doesn't appreciate her, so she's saying that she's a stay-at-home mom.
And we've been together since high school. Yeah, like, he's the only man I've ever been with. Like, I really give everything and all my time to everybody. My kids and him.
Do not turn your phone off for your husband, man.
Let him have to take care of the kids. And I bet you when you come back, he'd be like, baby, please don't leave. Baby.
Don't turn your phone off for your husband, man. Do not listen to Envy, because Envy would have a fit if Gia turned off the phone for him one day. Shit out.
But I would check my wife. I know how hard it is. If six kids?
You still would have a fit if she turned her phone off for a day. Imagine calling your wife. Imagine how many times we call our wife a day and we can't get in touch with her for 24 hours.
He don't respect his wife, so he got a lot of respect.
I agree. He does have to
learn
respect.
But she's speaking for her, and you're speaking for you. So you respect your wife, but that doesn't speak to how she feel about what you're presenting her.
Mm-hmm.
So he could think he's respecting her, and she may not feel it.
That's real.
But I voiced that, too, because I do understand that communication is key. And I voice that, and he'll be like, well, I just want this or I just want that. And I'll be like, okay, like in the morning, he'll wake me up and be like, well, I want and I'll be like, well, I was just up with our 6 month old. Every hour last tonight, like the
See? Respect is subjective, though. I was going to say that, too. Respect is subjective. So I got to know what her definition of feeling disrespected
right.
is. She just told us.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
So you might have
to... But I'm specific. Like, especially, with I catered a wedding. I had 5 other orders besides the wedding this weekend. And I was just exhausted up every hour with the baby, you know. And he's off on the weekends, but he didn't get up and help me. But then want to try to wake me up and then get an attitude when I'm like, no, get out my face.
Man. You might just have to wake him up at 3 o'clock in the morning, sit on his face and be like, how's it feel now? That's you might have to do that. But good luck, mama.
Thank you.
That's not disrespectful, though.
Not to me.
Man, just, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, man wants some fellatio in the morning.
Poor man, poor woman been up with the baby all night.
I get it, but that's not, it might be inconsiderate, but it ain't disrespectful.
There we go.
Inconsiderate, not disrespectful.
Because it'd be disrespectful to go the other way, right?
That's
go
right,
find
cheap.
Something.
That's
exactly.
right.
So it's like I'm bringing it to your attention.
Yo.
It's real talk, dude.
Hello, who's this?
Good morning, how are you?
Good. Get it off your chest, mama.
I am really upset at my husband this morning because I had an accident on Friday, and when he changed up a car, he never carried over rental. So now I'm having to freaking, like, get up early in the morning, drop my kids off early, and we're going to have to struggle all week because of his idiocy. Like, he's just, like...
Damn. I feel like everybody's mad at their husband this morning. Jesus.
Yeah. Like, how are you supposed to do a thing like that?
Well, we can't really hear you because you're so upset that you're yelling, but all we can hear is that you're mad at your husband, something about a rental car, he didn't give it back, and now you have to do it, and you want to wild out on his ass.
I thought she said she got an accident.
Yeah, thank you.
That's what I thought.
Well, yeah, no, I got into a car accident on Friday. It was my fault because I was rushing. But, like, when he turned over, like, when we changed cars, he never put rental. Like, how do you have 2 cars on the insurance with no rental?
I don't know what to tell you.
So, now I'm forced to figure out how to get to work back and forth. We work opposite ways and opposite schedules.
Oh, so he got the rental, and you don't have one.
Do y'all got
No. He never put rental on when he changed over cars.
Never put rental when he
changed. I don't know what that means.
You know when you get into an accident and you have rental insurance for a rental?
Oh, got you. So
the
insurance
pays for
rental
insurance
for the
car. So you got to pay for the car
now.
Got you. So you're upset.
Yeah, and it's like we got to pay for summer camp. Like, things ain't cheap.
Well, you shouldn't have gotten into an accident.
We won't figure it out.
No, you shouldn't have gotten into an accident, ma'am. It was your fault. You said that.
But you know what? Okay, yeah, it was my fault. But however, this is why we have insurance. This is why we put options on there. What if somebody would have hit me?
It sounds like all of y'all. It sounds like both of y'all blaming each other for things that are out of y'all control. And that's whack.
Yeah, I mean, you should have put insurance on your car, but people do that because they be like, I'm never going to get an accident. Why I got to pay this extra for insurance? And then right.
Same way you shouldn't have got into an accident, he probably should have had insurance, but there's no need for y'all to be pointing the finger at each other.
I understand that. But, like, now our kids have to be up at 6 a.m. to go drop me off at work. That's not fair.
You got to figure it out, though. That's life. You know what I'm saying? You got to figure out how to pivot in life.
So y'all arguing now?
Me and Steven.
Yeah, you should go in the bedroom right now and give him some fellatio. Just make up.
Jesus Christ.
But it's been a month. Nah, we good.
No. All right. Have a good one, mama.
Felatio don't fix everything, guys.
Just most of the things.
Yeah, it fixes a lot.
It fixes a lot.
Help us to sleep.
Right.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the 5-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Everybody, it's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
The Talk of New York.
That's right. Tony Yayo.
Had to bring it back, right?
Whatever.
Yeah. Right, man. Had to bring it back.
How you feeling, brother?
I'm feeling good, man. Running around. I'm on y'all show.
I feel like you got a second win, Yayo. Like, it's been a
second win, third win.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I see the way 50 work, and I'm like, yo, when he always be like, yo, y'all lazy. And I'm just realizing, like, I thought I was working when I wasn't. So during the COVID, it was just like a tough time. Like, I'm sitting back, wasn't no tours. I'm like, yo, I gotta figure out other things to do, bro. So I started doing the music, and then I started, you know, messing with Vlad TV.
Yep.
And I just started realizing, when you put your presence out there to all these younger generation, the new kids that really don't know us, they know G-Unit. Or some people do remember, like, when I go on tour, it'd be like, yo, my father used to play, or my mom's used to play G-Unit. So it passed down to that generation. So I'm going on my own tours, and, you know, I'm just making myself valuable, man, putting that work in.
Did that upset you when you heard 50 say y'all was lazy?
Nah, not even. That motivates me. Because at a point, sometimes you do get lazy. Our careers, we was kind of spoiled. Think about it. We had 50 where he was doing everything for us. So as for, like, when we was coming out, you had the Young Guns, for instance. I remember Hervain saying, Jay is not going to do what 50 does for Young Guns. He was saying it in front of their face. Y'all got 50. Like, 50 was, you know, help us be in the videos.
Right.
Second Beg for that. When he sold 11 million records, he dropped Beg for Mercy.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? I was in jail. You know, him and Eminem was shouting me out. So I always show my love to them. I know how 50 is. He, you know, y'all the same sound. Y'all are crazy. You know, it's all good. It's all good, you know, but it just motivated me to work because I see how he work. We'll be on tour. He'll leave tour to go on movie set. Go back, go to the gym twice a day. I'm tired, you know?
I mean, the Free Ayo movement was a movement within itself. Like, I don't think we talk about that enough. I don't know why randomly I was thinking the other day about when they shouted you out of the, I think it was the Grammys.
It was Eminem. Yeah. That's why I always shout out Eminem, you know what I'm saying? Because he didn't have to do that. I was on Rikers Island, C-73, too low.
Now, this move right here, this your hand in front of the face, where did that move come from? Because, you know, of course, we've known you doing that for years. Where did that come from?
That really came because I was on the run. Like, I was at that point when we was in the club, I was running. Like, 50 was like, yo, he said to me, you know, we had this Judge Wong in Queens, everybody know him, no joke. And he was like, yo, what are you going to do? You going to go to court or go on tour? And we blowing up now. Mixtapes are crazy. Bootleggers playing us everywhere. I'm like, yo, I'm running. So I ran.
So how did John Cena just... I guess jacket.
John Cena, I know he gives you credit.
Right, he does.
Yeah, John Cena said his little brother, I believe, did it, and his little brother dared him to do it, and I guess he did it in a match, and it just got crazy.
When you seen Reese do it, what did you think?
Oh, that was, she made it. She took it to a whole nother level. She brought it back. Had me trending for shout to Angel Reese. She had me trending for the whole week.
And then Caitlyn did it before her.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was just like, I mean, with that situation was crazy because, like you said, a black girl did it and it was a problem. Then when
White girl did it beforehand, it was a problem.
So I addressed that. You know what I mean? I talked about that too. That's crazy.
I saw that on TMZ. Yeah.
When we playing ball in the hood, you know it's competitive. Mm-hmm. Whatever you do, when you do your car shows, you in competition.
That's right.
I see you go at people. You know what I mean? Yo, I got the best car shows in the world. None of y'all can mess with me. I don't know how you getting all these cars.
You said it, not me, but go ahead.
So I told 50 he might as well just leave all his cars with you, bro.
Fifth calls me and he'd be like, let me get the car. And I'll give him back his car. You know, I usually have his Lambo or his Rolls Royce. And he drive it for one day and then it sits. And then he loses the key. And then I got to go get it again.
You don't even drive him. He don't let me borrow him. I'm playing around, bro.
I want to go back, right? I've known Yayo a long time. Where do you think in your career happened where you didn't go to that next level, right? And I asked 50 that and he said he thinks it was the picking of the wrong single. What do you think it was?
Interesting.
I think it was just a lot of drama with Interscope when I came home. You know what I mean? You had 50, he was Curtis. I'm Curtis Interscope Jackson. You know, and Jimmy Iovine, you know, you had Game flipping and like it was just confusing to me because I was on Game album and then, you know, the Game thing happened and it was like, yo, he's on the same label as us, so why they not just getting rid of him, you know, 50 so more records than the more whatever. It was like a war in our own house.
Because you had records. Yeah. You had the So Seductive. You had Pimpin.
Yes, I had So Seductive.
I Know You Don't Love Me.
I Know You Don't Love Me and Pimpin, right? But you got to remember, I came in the midst of the 50 Cent Interscope drama con.
He was saying, Jimmy Iovine.
Yeah, I'm my own boss. You know how 50 get. So I think sometimes, and at that point, we had so many enemies, it was like we wasn't getting a feature or nothing. Like, you wasn't. Like, we came to a point where we never used anybody. Like, it was just me, Banks, and 50. You know, 50 never looked to do features with nobody. So, you know how it is. It felt like everybody was against us at that point. Because nobody really messed with 50 in the industry like that or mess with us. Let's be serious.
What was the craziest story that you was like, we might not make it out of here?
I wouldn't say we were scared. But I could say it was the Vibe Awards. When we seen Suge Knight and Irv Gotti. And they walked past the trailer. It is what it is. We in New York, but we in L.A. You know what I'm saying? We New York dudes. We in L.A. You know what I'm saying? So you see Suge Knight. You always heard about this guy. You know, TV, magazines. But, you know, never had... In the club was the first run-in, but this was the second. So he walks past the trailer with Irv, and 50 just look at James Cruz. James Cruz, you know, shout to him. He was a little... James Cruz is always in a situation. Industry guy. He got to run around with 50 bulletproof vests. You know how Chris Lighty was in the trenches. It's crazy. So he just taps James Cruz and say, yo... Go buy 20 knives.
Go buy 20 knives?
Yeah, just go to the hardware store. I'm like, because what are we going to do? Just seem, you know, it might get 20? Crazy.
How many of y'all was it?
It was about 20 to 15 of like that. So James Cruz goes to the hardware store, buy 20 knives. He give the bags, 50 handing them out. And then, you know, when we got there, we had beef with Fat Joe at that point.
I remember.
We Dr. Dre's there, so, you know, that's obviously a beef with Suge Knight. Suge Knight got, like, some crazy looking... Compton looking dudes with them, you know what I'm saying? So it just, you felt the energy to where we had our chairs like this.
You're not even watching the show.
Yeah,
y'all
we're
watching
not even watching the show. We had it like this. Like, yo, you felt the energy. Like, you felt something was going to go down. And that's when, you know, we wasn't taking pictures back then, so I guess he asked Dre for the autograph.
Yeah.
Pops on Dre. Dre falls, but he automatically get up, start popping on him, and it just got crazy. Knives started coming from everywhere, and that's when, you know, one of the dudes got stabbed.
So my question is, if there was 20 knives, how come only Young Buck didn't stab him?
That dude got stabbed in the chest. Young Buck stabbed him with a fork. I don't know where that came from.
He said, how did he stab with a fork? Where did he get that fork from?
I don't know where you... He just came with the fork.
So nobody gave Buck a knife?
That's why I was tripping. I know I had one, everybody else did. You know what I'm saying? But Buck, matter of fact, him and Banks was backstage. They was about to perform, and he just came with the fork. As soon as they started talking that time, when they started to, we went back to the mansion after that happened, Because the kid got stabbed in the chest. He collapsed and everything. The fork wasn't nothing. And we got back to the mansion, and it was on the news. It was like, attempted murder, Young Buck. Young Buck was like, I ain't do that, man. So it all switched up when that time. That's why I be staying out of trouble, bro. Young Buck was like, I ain't do that, man. Because Young Buck hit him with the fork. He ain't stab him in the chest.
Word. Yeah. He kind of ran with the story, though. Didn't Buck run with it?
I mean, you know, come on, man. Yeah. You know, rappers, man. Yeah, the story.
All right, we got more with Tony Yayo when we come back. The Breakfast Club, good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Our co-host B. Scott is here, and we're still kicking it with Tony Yayo. Charlamagne?
What about that stabbing? When you mentioned it briefly, though.
Oh, and Sony?
Yeah. Was it a real stabbing?
It was a real stabbing. I'm going to tell you what happened, man. We was in the studio, and that's Sony, right?
Where Sony Studios, yeah.
Sony, remember they had the one across the street, and they had the big building.
The big building is where everybody would say Michael Jackson would take all the rooms.
Right.
Right.
So we walking in, and at that time, I think we seen Wyclef, and you know, I think Scooter was there. Was Haitian Jack there? Haitian Jack. We see them in the lobby. It's just me and 50.
But
50,
a lot of sock posse.
Yeah, you know, back
a lot of sock posse.
Yeah, they was all in the lobby with Clef. We seen Clef. And I think Proswell was there too, or whatever. So, you know, we go upstairs, but we not worried about it. Fifth, I swear to God, Fifth guy, I don't got nothing on me. Fifth got a 4/5, no safety on him. We chilling. We go upstairs, we got a session. So Clark Kent, his nephew, end up being a DJ, Giz. But Giz was not really a street dude. He was just a cool dude. You know, shout out to Clark Kent. He was just like, yo, here, 50, I got a DJ for you, right? So we go in the studio, we supposed to record. Now, the studio is small. It's a small room, and it's a small hallway. So, in the next room is Tone and Poke. They working on beats. And me, 50, and Giz is in the room with the engineer. Forgot what 50 was working on. I guess, I'm going to keep it real. This is
before Interscope. This is when 50 was signed to Sony.
I think, in my mind, I think Proswell said something. Like, I don't know why. Like, he must, you know
why
what I'm saying?
Why you think Proz?
I think he said something. I'm going to keep it real. I don't think
why
it was Proz.
Why Proz? All the people you just named.
Trust me, that was the information that was, you know what I mean? That Proswell said something to Ja Rule and him. So we in the room, you just hear boop, 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 commotion. These dudes come in like it's a movie, like, yo, what's up now? But they ain't, it's no guns or nothing. It's nothing really, all you see is crutches and like stuff picked up from the studio. And I guess one of them had like a kitchen knife. So it was Irv there? No, it was Irv brother. I think it was Black Child at that point. Ja. I think somebody else. But so we starting to get it on. Nobody turned off the light while we getting it on. The light like turned off because you know how bump into the switch. So we fighting. Everything is dark. You don't know what's going on. You just hear melee. So all you heard was get the gun. You know, Fifth bluffed him because the gun was in the other room. That's why I say Ja Rule and him, he wouldn't even be here. He would have been gone. Like our careers would have been totally different if that gun was in that room. And I swear on my dead father, like I'm telling you the truth, the gun was in the other room. I've seen it. You know what I'm saying? With my own 2 eyes. They come in, we get it on, boom, boom, boom. Get the gun. They run out. Fifth threw a speaker at one of them. I don't know if it was Irv brother or whoever. I seen him throw a speaker and say, get the gun. Once they heard get the gun, everybody started running out. But the gun was in the other room. And that was it. 50 had a scratch on his back, right? And I got stabbed in my hands and my finger was like cut right here. So look, it looked crazy because it was hanging a little bit. But look, this is all I got. That and that. That was it.
Do you ever think about how blessed y'all are? Because think about all the violence y'all escaped. Because I ain't never even heard about the shooting that happened before the young man got slapped, right?
Nah, but it's
then
cool.
After that, then your mother house get
Yeah, it's cool. Up. But I always looked at it like this, bro. If I slap your kid or your kid, what are you going to... You got the right. It's all gloves off. And it's all good.
But then y'all G-Unit officers got shot up before.
Yes.
Y'all missed a lot of bullets is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's a blessing.
Tour bus, definitely. Mama crib. Like, it was a lot of bullets.
You know what's crazy? And I always thank God. Like, I always say my prayers before I left the house. Because I remember one day, I had a plaque. And people won't even believe this story. And a bullet fell out of it. And my father found it. He was staying with me at the time. The next day, my mom's crib got shot up. Or could have been the same day. Like, but my mom's crib got shot up. So, I mean, you know, God is good, bro.
A bullet for, like, your plaque?
A bullet. Like, I had a 50 cent plaque.
Where?
And it got bullets in it. And it's above my door. And my father found it. He's like, yo, somebody shot the house up? And I'm like, nah, that fell off the plaque. And the next day, like, my mom's crib got shot up. So, you get signs. You know to be low and you got to move right. Because one thing about us is we knew how to move. Like, all right, cool. If it's hot, cool, I'm good. Like, when my mom's crib got shot up, I went out there and was looking to do stuff, and 50 called me like, yo, bro, you outside, you got something on you, you bugging out, bro. Use your brain, bro. It's chess, not checkers.
That's why I say, you know, it must have been like 7-8 years ago to see you and 50 enjoying what y'all didn't have before.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because they couldn't go to the clubs and experience the records like y'all should have. Y'all couldn't go to these events and go to these things.
And it wasn't because of the rappers. It was mainly because of the hip-hop police, because there was times where they'd be like, no G-Unit, no Dipset in the clubs.
Mm-hmm.
All the clubs in Manhattan. So hip-hop police, you remember Curly Top? Mm-hmm. He's retired now. Hip-hop police, they all retired. There's all new ones now.
Mm-hmm.
For the dudes that'll follow TJ and all these dudes mm-hmm. in the city and all the young dudes now. But all them dudes are retired.
Mm-hmm.
But them dudes used to tell us, yo, you can't come to this club. You know how much money we missed out on?
Definitely good to see that. Man, yeah, yo.
And congrats on the Welcome to the Culture podcast.
Thank you, man. Welcome to the Culture podcast.
I seen you in you screaming on Math Hoffa. What happened with that?
Nah, Hoffman is good. I just feel like sometimes, like, when you go online, it just be like, it just felt like clickbait. Like, you asking me, can I pick up the phone for Banks if 50's around? They both my friends. I'm a grown-ass, you know, man. Like, mm-hmm. what are you talking about?
Did you want to do music?
Yeah, I just dropped the mixtape, Loyal.
All right, well, we appreciate you for joining us. Thanks, check man. Out the podcast, The Culture. Welcome to The Culture Podcast. It's Tony Yayo.
Yeah, made it, Mom, on The Breakfast Club. Yeah.
You've been up here before.
Yeah, but I'm by myself now. I'm all 50. Right.
It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
When you're a business owner and you're juggling a lot of things, you need a team of people to keep your business running successfully. How do you find and hire the right people? ZipRecruiter. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/breakfast.
Daddy, call him up.
Tell him up. It's topic time. Call 800-585-1051 to join into the discussion with The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just joined us, a young lady named Lima called this morning. She wanted to know. I don't know who she's dealing with, but she wanted to know if you're a liar or a cheater, are you born like that? Or is it learned behavior? Charlamagne?
I don't think you're born a liar. I think that, you know, kids lie, and you see that. We all got young kids, you know what I'm saying? Kids lie simply because they don't want to get in trouble. So I think that's a form of self-preservation. I think when it comes to infidelity and cheating, that is absolutely positively learned behavior, 100%.
Hello, who's this?
Vanessa.
Hey, Vanessa. Talk to us, Vanessa.
Well, I
want to
say good morning, and thank you guys so much for having us. Energy in the morning. We all love listening to you. We appreciate
it
that y'all do.
Vanessa, your phone is crazy. You got us on Bluetooth for speaker?
No, I do not. I have a headset.
Okay, can you take us off that headset? Yeah, we can barely hear you. Can you take us off that headset right fast? I'm sorry.
And thank you, Vanessa, too. We appreciate you listening and appreciating us.
Hi, good morning, though. Can y'all hear me?
Way better.
Yep.
Okay. So my thoughts, I think it's a genetic behavioral trait. I think that when you grow up in a household and somebody in that family goes along with that behavior of cheating and lying, I think it passes down to their kids. With that being said, I did grow up in a household where my father cheated on my mother, and he brought me along to every female date that he had because they had children.
No.
And then we somehow stayed at night.
Damn.
No. So how you grew up, you had a bunch of stepmommies?
Yes.
Are you still?
I have an older half-sister that I have nothing to know about. She's in another country. And keep in mind, my dad is Hispanic. That's why I don't go along with any Hispanics. You just all cheat around.
Damn it, man.
So you don't date Hispanic men?
I do not.
That's right. You date black men because black men don't cheat.
Exactly.
That's right.
That are Caucasian. So they're the most honest, honestly.
Jesus.
That's not true.
So I just think that the Hispanic dad was saying that my father... He taught my brother that's the game of life. You cannot just have one stitch. You need to have them all. Do not be stingy. Everybody needs love.
My daddy told me that when I was young, too. My daddy literally looked at me and said, oh, you only got one girlfriend. Now, as I got older and we got older, he said I was absolutely right to have one woman. But, you know, when I was young, he definitely messed me up.
Mm. Hello, who's this?
This is Brian. How you doing?
Brian, what's going on?
So, I think that it's the parents' fault, and here's why.
Okay.
We inadvertently teach our kids to lie when they're young and they hear us talking to our significant other. And let's just hypothetically say someone knocks at the door and you see who it is. He's like, tell them I'm not here.
Mm.
The kids pick up on that kind of thing. You're lying right there.
You're right. You right, because I remember Jehovah's Witness used to come knocking on the doors. And my parents would be like, tell me that home. Yeah, you right.
Well, guess what?
Yep.
I was a Jehovah's Witness, okay? I was the person going out on the field service every Saturday with my mom and my sister and knocking on those doors, okay? So F all y'all dishonest people, okay? I hope y'all don't make it into heaven.
Nah, you right.
I hope y'all don't become one of the 144,000.
Because even when people call, like your mom and daddy be like, tell them I'm sleeping. Yeah, so you right.
Exactly.
Damn.
That's a good point, brother.
Thank you, Brian.
That is a fantastic point.
Now, that's a perfect point because we all do that. We all do that to our kids. All our kids will hear us. But who calling? Oh, don't answer the phone. We do it all the time.
That's why I tell my kids when the doorbell ring or somebody knocks, don't go to it. You go get an adult. All right? So when you go get that adult can make the executive decision. That's when you tell the adult, hey, tell them people I ain't here.
Right, okay? But that's a lie.
But I'm telling that to the adult. Not the kids.
But the kids hear it.
No, they don't. That's where you got to whisper. You know how to use the inside voice? Use your inside voice.
Or somebody come ask you for money and you say, I ain't got it. Your kids know you got it. That's a lie.
No. I tell my kids that no is perfectly okay to say. All right? Trust me. My oldest daughter hears those conversations. When people call me, she hears those. And I tell her straight up, like, you can't just do for everybody. You know?
But what's the moral of the story?
I don't know. We heard a bunch of them just now.
I didn't lie just now.
I don't know.
All right.
We heard a bunch of them. I personally think that all of this stuff is learned behavior, you know, because when you're young and you lie as a child, it's just self-preservation. I don't think you're necessarily, I don't think you have the intention of I'm lying. You're just trying to save yourself and protect yourself.
Okay. Kiss the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Hey everybody, it's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got our guest host with us.
Yes, indeed.
Erica Duchess, she's here. She's joining us. And we got some special guests in the building.
The Tejadas.
I don't think you say the J.
Right. How you pronounce it?
Tejadas, isn't it?
Tejadas. The Tejadas.
Yeah, I used to struggle with it, too.
Yes. I don't know. But we got the homie Woody McClain here, who's been here before. And Lavelle Adams-Gray, welcome.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Did I say your name right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
Kane and Drew from Power Book 2. Man, y'all, you know, it's funny, right? Because y'all got to be some of the most famous people in black culture at the moment. You don't think so?
It's been love, man.
Yeah.
It's been love. People come up to you, smack you in the airport. Like, it's crazy. It's
crazy.
What do you
mean smack you?
I know, where?
It was in the airport. A lady had a baby, white lady. She was like, I love what you're doing on the show. I'm like, appreciate it, but it just caught me, you know what I mean? Caught me off guard, but yeah, it's been love.
Absolutely.
It's been a lot of love.
Yeah, I got that in there. I didn't get smacked, but this dude stopped me. He was like, bro, I know you, right? Like, you've been in Houston. I'm like, listen, I've never been in Houston in my life. So I know I've never met you before.
Yeah.
You know? And like, it was definitely from the show, but you know, it was funny. It was like,
based off the character you play, where did he smack you? Just tell us.
It was on my arm.
Okay. Just making sure. Power Book season three, actually.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. It's been a nut season. So the last two episodes are going to be crazy, and I have not watched them even though they leaked.
Appreciate that.
Okay. Well, how can y'all top what y'all have done?
I think, you know, the writers have, you know, only gotten better.
Mm-hmm.
Brett, you know, really cares about the show, the showrunner, and really takes care of us and is invested on making it new and exciting and truthful. And I think, you know, you keep it truthful and, you know, it tops itself, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And a whole lot of drama.
Mm.
You know, Twitter loves drama, so I think they've been doing a great job with it.
Mm-hmm. And you've been in love the whole damn season.
I know, man.
How'd that go from being a gangster? You're still a gangster, but you're in love now.
On the show, being in love is kind of boring to me.
You know? Why is it boring?
I'm like, man, I'm ready to catch a body.
It's crazy, though. That's horrible, right?
It's a horrible way to think, but that show has definitely altered my mind to think like that. It's weird. It's like, man, another scene. I'm like, man, when do I pop somebody?
Well, I was going to ask, how does that change your character? Because now you're into this scene, right? You want to pop somebody. So now when you go out and somebody says something, you think like, are you still in character? Like, what you say? Are you still like that? Or do you get out of character?
Nah, I get out of character.
Mm-hmm.
I get out of character. But it depends. If I'm with my family, I'm still in it a little bit. Because, you know, people don't really respect
boundaries.
Nah, and because we're on TV, we're no longer human. You know what I mean? I just feel like everybody treats us like an item. So it's like, I'm always like, just thinking about those things and making sure my family is straight while I'm outside. But it's always been love, though.
And it has to be different, right? Because of the characters that you played, you have like very different demographics. Like, you have the young people that might follow this, but then you have the older people that love you in this. So how does that work?
Nah, it's, for me, I know, like, I've been to like the hoodest of the hoods, and people are like, yo, that's you, me up there. Like, I appreciate that. And I'm like, oh, thank you. So I always
first
take
of all,
that.
You should call the police on all those people. If somebody ever tell you that, hey, I relate to character Kane, that's me. Call the police.
Not when what's emergency.
But
the older demographics love you and the younger demographics love you.
That's what you mean, the older demographics love him because of the new edition, Bobby Brown stuff?
Because, you know, you got aunties and grandmas that know him for new edition. That show a different type of love. But then you got homies from the corner that look at him differently. So it's
that's interesting. I thought that there was a young demo that watched the Bobby Brown story in New Edition too. I feel like that introduced them to a new audience.
No, absolutely. You know? For sure. I agree.
That's true.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
Cause my kids love it.
Yeah, the kids call me Bobby Brown. Like, yeah. You Bobby. I'm like, bro, I'm not.
And you get tired of that?
Yeah, a little bit.
I feel like Kane Trump Bobby though.
No.
Yes, man. No. Right now in the culture? I don't know, bro.
When I've seen him in the hall, the first thing I thought was Bobby. I was like, that's what I thought.
Yeah, I see Bobby too, man.
But I mean, I was just watching the fight, and it was this white guy. He was like, yo, Kane. And the Uzi song was playing. He was like, but I'm like, that's crazy.
That
so,
sounded like a little flirt right there. That was,
I don't know. It was weird. But it's like New York, so nobody really tripped on it. Okay. It was crazy. Everybody was just having fun. Yeah. I'm like, nobody
seen it. If it was in Atlanta, it would have been a little different.
Oh, yeah, that would have been different. That would have been different. Yeah.
Power, one of them shows that the culture really gets involved in. Meaning
absolutely.
That
absolutely.
When it's on, everybody tweeting about it. It's like a family gathering. And then people talking about what happened, you know, that night on social media afterwards.
Yes.
And people care about y'all personal lives. Like, that's rare.
Yeah.
Everybody don't get that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
And I think it's an important thing, you know, to separate the character from the actor, you know? Like, we watch, like, Daniel Day-Lewis. We don't think, like, he's, you know, Bill the Butcher. And, you know, what's his name? Daniel Plainview.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just look at him like, that's a really dope artist.
Right.
And I think, like, you playing Bobby Brown, you playing Kane, like, that's a testament to your artistry.
I appreciate that, bro. Same to you, man.
But you know, you do a fantastic
y'all
job.
Y'all just had a little moment. Playing,
you do a fantastic job playing Drew. And the crazy part is everybody's like, oh, is he really, you know, really gay? And I'm like, does it matter?
Mm.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, would it matter if Lavelle was? Like, what does it matter?
I don't think it does matter. I think it's important to separate those things, you know, important to separate the personal from the work, because I have to be able to play everything as an artist. You know, that's our job. It's to tell the story and tell it as truthfully as possible, you know? Like, if I was playing, you know, your life story, right? And you watched it and go, like, you're not telling the truth, then I'm doing you a disservice.
Yeah,
right?
But you're not gay enough if you was playing me. How many people say, no, he's not gay enough.
I was gonna ask you, when you seen the script, was there any doubts like, well, maybe I don't want to play that, or it was like, no, I'm an actor, this is what I'm gonna do regardless of what people
that's
think.
What it was, man. I'm an actor, you know, and I have to tell the truth, and if I'm not telling the truth as an artist, then get me out the show, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I'm not going, if I'm not committing 100%, then I don't deserve the part.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just how I see it. Like, you know what, regardless of whatever part it is, whatever role it is, it's like, if you're putting in the work, investigating in yourself and trying to tell the truth, and you know, you deserve to be on that platform and tell that story.
It's an interesting social experiment though. Whenever there's a lovemaking scene between a man and a woman, nobody cares. But when you see it pop up on Power or one of those other shows, everybody's up in arms like, ah, man, I can't watch this, man. I'm gonna tell stars if they don't stop doing this, I'm not gonna watch. But I'm like, are people gonna be like, why do you, nobody ever asked that with his men and women, you know?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think, you know, if we're talking about the first Power,
mm-hmm.
Omari Hardwick and Leela look really good together, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, they, like his back muscles and everything like that. So I understand, like, you know, the aesthetic is what we're used to. And we're not used to seeing queer lovemaking on especially on a mainstream show like this. And
but so it's real life and it happens.
It's real life and it happens. Mm-hmm. And I think my biggest thing was, like, I haven't gotten the back yet, like Mario Hardwick's back. I haven't gotten that, like, physical, like, strength. Because, like, you know what I mean? Like,
I just
turned 31, so I'm like, I still got to, like, get my man meat on. But, but I'm trying. Not like that.
You practicing Charlamagne's role right there. You look good. That's the character he is.
He flips on audition.
I'm talking about.
You got the role. You need your man body. He called you man body.
My man body. You know what I mean? And, like, and so, like, that's whenever I have those scenes, I'm like, I want to make sure I look as good as possible. I want to make, you know what I mean? I want to look good. And that's, you know, the same thing with Kane. Like, you want to make sure he looks good.
Amari set the bar so high.
He set the bar. Yeah.
I remember reading a tweet. Somebody was like, Kane looks like a college dropout kid that just played Call of Duty. And I was like, damn, I need to get in the gym.
You get in the gym?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. That's all I think. I hear that in my ears while I'm like, you know what I mean? Yeah. When I'm like running out of energy, I just hear him saying like, college dropout body. And I'm in the gym.
That's
I'm
crazy.
Going crazy.
All right, when we come back, we got more with the Tejada brothers from Power. You know, Woody McClain and Lavelle. So don't move, Mr. Breakfast. We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well-known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow the Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with the Tejada brothers from Power. You know, Woody McClain and Lavelle Adams Gray. Charlamagne?
Does social media bother y'all? Like, when y'all read comments, does it impact how y'all approach the roles and everything?
For me, personally, nah, because I come from social media, and I just used to say shit that didn't even really matter. I just said it to get like a reaction or some shit.
Don't you know say that, Woody. Now you're going to have people looking for your damn old tweets.
You're right. But that's where I was at, though. Like, that's the space I was in. I just wanted to get a reaction. That's what Twitter was for. It's like to see how many retweets and how many
that's
likes you can get. You know what I mean? So now I look at it as like, that's just somebody just trying to get attention. But it don't bother me, though,
And you got to be careful.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll ask tomorrow.
Hold on, what about you, Lavelle?
I come from theater a little bit, and we learned really quickly not to, like, you can't read everything every night, you know, because it affects your work. So I come from that, like, where it comes, like, you know, I'm not reading everything all the time. Like, I kind of just post or whatever and just go about my business.
All right.
Yeah. Now, we had Amari up here last year, maybe 2 years ago, and I asked him, Charlamagne and I asked him about the character. Was he ever fearful that he was going to be stuck in that character, right? And, you know, he was little upset about it because he said he's an actor, but sometimes people see Omari as Ghost, you know? Sometimes they see you as Bobby. Do you ever fearful of what roles you take to be stuck in that character?
No. God will provide.
There it is. I agree.
You know what I mean? Yes. Yeah, like, it's a scarcity mindset to think that way, I think. But
it happens to people. Like, you look at Steve Urkel. He's like always Steve Urkel. You look at the guy that plays, I can't even remember the brother's name. He played Chris Rock, and Everybody Hates Chris. He's always looked as that, you know?
I don't know. But he just won a Golden Globe or an Emmy.
He was on that.
People see him as that.
But I still see him as that little boy.
Isn't that a blessing, though? To play a role that's so iconic. That
right,
people,
it is.
You know what I mean?
Why not? I think it is. It stands the test of time, and, you know, we leave that legacy for sure. I think it does, you know, but actors want to be transcendent, right, and be able to disappear in the roles. And I think a part of that is the onus on the actor to, like, switch it up a little bit and try something different and never let themselves get pigeonholed in one thing. But I think being scared of that brings it on, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you ever feel a way, you know, because you are a theater actor, so you've been through the course, you've been through the classes, and then you see somebody that might be, a social media person that gets a role because they are social media. Does that ever make you feel a way like they didn't get their chops wet? They didn't do the proper training that you've been through? Does that ever make you feel a way?
If I'm being honest,
absolutely.
Whenever that comes up for me and I get tight like that, I'm like, well, that's just my ego. Like, that's me, that's you know? Mm-hmm. That's me, because I didn't get that part. Or I didn't, you know what I mean? But, like, what's for you is meant to be for you.
Right.
You know? That's so that I remind myself of that, and then, you know, it goes away. But, like, and it's like acting is always going to change mediums and always going to evolve, and that's the point. If you don't evolve with it, then you're going to get left behind.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Woody?
I come from social media, so I salute anybody that comes from social media, you know? I like it. Just take it serious.
That was the question. Was that the question?
No, I was saying.
Oh, shit.
What do you say?
I salute everybody on social media, too. But now, I was asking, does it ever make you feel a way where it feels like people, you know, they always say people skip the line, right? So that they didn't, you know, take the acting classes and the acting lessons.
That's what I'm saying. I come from the people that didn't take acting classes that, straight from social media. Like, so I don't take it no way, nah. I just took it serious.
You kind of skipped the line?
I did skip the line, but then I took it very, very serious.
Yeah, that's what I like. Because a lot of people
just ride the wave.
Like the comedians.
Yeah.
Like they can't do the stage. They can do the social media stuff all day.
Right.
Poster. But when it comes to that stage, it's totally different. And they don't want to get in their room, you know, go to the open mics and stuff. They don't want to do that. They too good for that.
Mm-hmm.
But you horrible. When it comes to the stage,
he's got somebody personal in there.
Yeah, a couple people in town. She got somebody on break.
Now, obviously, I'm a stand-up comedian, so I just see the new wave, and it is the new wave.
Yeah.
But with somebody like me who been doing it for so long, you start seeing stuff. At first, I was acting like Samuel L. Jackson. At first, you know, what I'm saying, how he was with the people taking the acting gigs. I was like, hold on, now that ain't even. But I had to sit back and get in your mode and be like, hold on, what God got for me is for me.
Exactly.
They path ain't my path. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So this is my journey.
That's real.
So I got to stay on my own journey.
Absolutely.
Bless and understand why I'm in my position.
That's real.
And be patient. See, and that's why I'm here today.
Exactly.
Now Woody, is Kane and Tyreek going to end up killing each other over Effie, man?
Oof.
That's going to mess up the business in some way, shape, or form.
Damn, I don't even know if I can talk about that. I don't know, though. I can see it happening.
Okay.
I can see it happening.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good suggestion.
Yeah. I can't talk on that.
He said, look, you want me to say I can't.
I don't want to get in trouble.
Right.
Well, let me ask you, Lavelle, why is Drew not allowed to have love? Seems like you lose every guy that you start feeling.
I think it's because it's the reality of the game we're in, right? And I feel like, with Gordo, he found somebody that he felt like he could, he could see all of him and recognize all of him. But at the same time, it's like, it started off of lies, right? Like, I killed his pops, or we killed his pops. So it's like, if I can't tell you that truth, then we're already, our foundation is shaky anyway, you know? So I think, God willing, going forward, Drew will find some love, somebody that, can resonate with him in that way that he doesn't have to hide himself from. But until then, it's be about your bread, man.
Yeah, it is.
How's working with Mary?
Beautiful, man. Mary's so cool. She's so chill.
We have so many moments and memories with Mary, and I think my favorite one is, first day table read. You know what's funny? They don't tell actors this a lot. It's always like, you know, like, well, you just get in the space and like, yeah, you know, I belong there and I already been there. So, you know, I got to act like it and whatever. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. the back tension, shoulder tension yeah. comes up. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. no. Like, when I got to the table read, I was like, I've never been here before and I've never been face-to-face with Mary J. Blige before.
Yeah. Right.
And you know yeah. what she did? She broke the ice with a funny-ass story. You know, she brought us in as her kids off rip.
Yeah.
And that to me, like, taught me, like, God willing, I get to that place where I can, people look at me in that way that I can be like, oh, no, it's chill. Like, you know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. that really helped me out.
How did she bring y'all in? What was the joke that brought y'all in? You said, because you said she brought you in as her kids.
Well, she told us, like, it was a story. I told her that, like, my dad's from Jamaica, mm-hmm. right? And she was like, oh, I'm never going to Jamaica again. Like, I'm never bringing nobody to Jamaica because, like, it's drama. And it's just the way that she just related to us.
Yeah.
You would think that, like, I guess the perspective of someone of that high stature mm-hmm. is that, like, you have to go to them.
Gotcha,
but I
gotcha,
felt
gotcha.
Like she came down to us gotcha, and gotcha, gave gotcha. Us a story that was, like, we all had us laughing. And it was like, well, thanks for sharing that, you know, with us. And really brought us in. And so it just made it so easy, you know.
Yeah.
You know, we get to do these scenes and she's so generous as as a scene partner. And we get to, like, really go and play with it. She has so many fun ideas and just really cares about Monet and says, like, listen, man, Monet is from here, so she's not gonna do it like that. She's gonna mm-hmm. do it like this. And like,
look, she'd be on her producer mode, low
yeah,
key.
You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
The
for sure.
When we did the dinner table, mm-hmm. that super iconic dinner table mm-hmm. scene, you know, it was her idea to be like, listen, like, mm-hmm. we gotta get it elevated.
Mm-hmm.
Right? She said we have to elevate this thing because she's not gonna have her daughter talk to her no type of way and not snatch her across the table and have it be this big moment.
That's real.
You know, and it came alive because of that. And I learned so much as an actor because of that.
So what's gonna happen when y'all gotta hate her? Because eventually y'all gonna find out that she's the one who set Lorenzo up.
I mean,
you know what I mean?
You know, like,
y'all gonna have to, y'all gonna hate her then, right?
Comes out this weekend, we gonna see.
Right, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's this week Friday.
Yeah.
We're gonna find out all that stuff. But you know, yeah. Yeah.
Are y'all happy Lorenzo days? Y'all gotta say Poppy no more? Didn't feel odd.
I don't really think I ever said Poppy like that.
No, say Poppy.
I never knew how to say it for real. Like mm-hmm. it didn't roll off my tongue like that, so I kinda eliminated the poppies out of my vocabulary.
You mm-hmm. just said it now.
Yeah.
Did it roll off right?
Yes, it did.
You said Poppy, you said it real.
Good. I think, you know, and shout out to Berto Colon who plays Lorenzo.
Amazing.
I miss him, man, sometimes, you know, because he's a masterclass too, you know, and I love him being there. He just holds it down. He's such a grounding energy. So as Lavelle, I'm like, damn, you know, he's gone. But as Drew, I think Drew's also like, damn, he's gone.
Yeah, yeah, you know? I agree.
All right, when we come back, we got more with the Tejada brothers from Power. You know, Woody McClain and Lavelle. So don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. JNV, Charlamagne Tha Guy. We are the Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with the Tejada brothers from Power, Woody McClain and Lavelle Adams Gray. Now, we taped this yesterday. Erica Duchess, our co-host, was here. Erica.
You yes. married?
I'm engaged.
You're engaged. Okay, mm-hmm. So how do your fiance feel about your love scenes and stuff like that?
You know, she's the same way. She comes from, you know, that place of, like, if you're going to do it right kind of thing. So she's a big fan of the show, and she loves watching the show. She has a great heart and a great empathetic capacity. So she watches Drew or anybody going through it. She's just like, wow, like, this is a... Every time I watch the show, I'm watching it being like, I know what we did, right? I know what's happening. And she's like, wow, this show, like, surprises me every time. It's phenomenal. This is this and this.
Is it hard to watch it with her? For any love scene? Because
it's hard to watch it with her because she's sometimes around during the table reads. And so she's, like, privy to information. And she's like, oh, so that's what you guys were talking about. And, oh, I didn't, you know. And but in terms of, like, content stuff and you know, it's not hard watching, you know, because she's also done love scenes. And
how do you feel when you see her doing love scenes?
It's
some dude.
It's
like,
taking some getting
some
used
dude
to.
Like Omari. Oh, these
back muscles. He said back muscles. He got that man meat on his back.
No, she's hey, just, yo, she's just
what? Man, what? What? Call
it back to what
he said. Yeah, that's what he said.
Right.
That
I like that psychology. That
man yeah. meat on the back.
Yeah. Jesus, but yeah, but how does that make you feel? Jesus.
You know, she just did this film called Perfect Addiction. It just came out, and in it, she plays an MMA fighter and trainer. And she had to be with these 6'2", 6'3", you know, getting
man.
Swollen D's for the role and coming in. And, you know, she was love interest to both of them. And I'm having to sit there being like, yo, this is fine. This is fine. This is fine. 5'8". This is fine. And, you know, but...
When you walk past the mirror, you walk past with your chest out.
Yeah, for real. Listen, every time she goes somewhere to work on a job or she's like, there's a time apart, I'm in the gym. I go crazy in the gym. Because when you come back,
You don't see me looking different than when you left.
That's right.
You know, I want to ask you, Lavelle, do you get flack from like actual gay actors who feel like that role should go to gay, actual gay people?
Like you took my role.
That's a good question. No.
Yeah.
I get a lot of love. A lot of like a lot of support comes from other queer actors. You know, and I get a lot of love.
Because I would think that's a ridiculous conversation to have, because if a gay person plays a straight person, it's because they got the role because they're a good actor.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You play, yeah. If you're good at what you do, you're good at what you do.
Yeah.
Woody got everybody hitting my damn phone.
Charlamagne was kind of excited. I ain't gonna lie.
No,
because
I thought it was like,
Woody tagged me on something. People hit me.
The reason I got excited because I was like, oh, it might, you know, it might be some bread. And Woody was like,
explain the post.
Woody said he posted, I want to do a season for Now Watch Party in South Carolina, but I need C to God to host it with me. He said, who in South Carolina would pull up? It got like 2,600 comments, and then people started making actual post about it, like this needs to happen, and
so
I'm like,
do it?
So yeah, that's what I'm saying. What we doing?
I'm with it. We got to find a place to do it, because you know we used to the house party vibe. Last time me and Woody party together, we was in a house.
House party, yeah.
And you can't do it in a house.
Thanksgiving, yeah.
Can't do it in a house.
But you can't. No, can't bring all those people to your house.
Nah, can't do that.
You got to figure out where to do it. I don't know. And do we charge people?
Yes.
That's the hard part. You know what I mean?
You got to charge people, because if not, it's got to be limited space. If not, everybody's going to be there. It's going to be two-packed. You want limited space. You want people to be able to see.
Yeah.
So you charge people but then have like an open bar?
Like have an open bar.
Food.
So they can have a good time and some food. But that way you have sections so people can actually watch. You don't want a two-pack where you can't enjoy and scream and yell and all that
Maybe
stuff.
We can do it at the museum, the International like African American Museum. Maybe.
I like that.
You'd have to bring some TVs in and cable if they got it. And
it's not until the 26th, right?
It's 26th,
yeah. May 26th. Oh, yes, we got a couple weeks.
Memorial Day weekend.
We got time, though.
We might can figure it out.
I'd have fun there.
You know what I'm saying? You
pay at the museum.
But the pay is not really for... You, it's more to make sure people are going to come, because everybody at RSVP, I'm coming, and then it'd be raining. It'd be like, I ain't coming in the rain.
Right.
You know what I mean? But you want people that's going to come enjoy and have a great time. Mm-hmm.
But that, once again, that's a testament to how big power is in the culture. I'm telling you, all shows don't get that cultural reverence the way
they
power
don't.
Got,
man. They don't. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They let us host stuff like rappers. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, at a host, and I'm like, I ain't got no songs. I don't know what y'all want me to do, so I just take pictures. You know? They would give me the mic. I'm like, I don't know what y'all want me to say. Like, I ain't got no bars or nothing for nobody.
Does it bother y'all when the shows leak?
Yes.
Okay.
I was tight.
Is that the true leak? Because they said that it might not be the true shows.
Well, no. I think it was like some like fake poor quality stuff. I didn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
But man, like it's like you like a rapper. Like you always tight when your leaks. Mm-hmm. And then like who did it? Like it has to be somebody in your camp. Right, like,
and why is it only power shows?
That's
on
the weirdest thing.
You don't see that with nobody.
Or do people just care that much? Like other things leak that we just don't think about, but people that's care crazy. About this.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I don't know about it, but like I appreciate the fans who like stuck it out and like are gonna watch it again, you know, and see it, because it deserves to be seen, you know, in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
With this love triangle Tyreek got going on, right? Who would y'all rather see him end up with, Effie, Lauren, or Diane?
Speaking as Lavelle, I'd rather see him with Diana.
Really?
Yeah. Speaking as
your
Lavelle.
Sister?
Yeah. Speaking as Woody.
Lavelle. Speaking as Lavelle.
As Woody. As Woody.
Oh, okay.
As Woody. Diana as well. As
really?
Yeah.
Drew don't want Tariq nowhere around.
Absolutely.
Family like that.
Kane don't want it either.
You know.
Yeah.
But as Lavelle, I'm like this. They make a good pair. You know, they're both very intelligent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they both move around the business really well. And they could actually like make a great, like if they came together like that, they can make a good team.
But then the brothers might have to kill him.
Yeah. So now it's drama. Now it's drama.
Yeah, I agree.
Did you feel bad for Sax when he got killed?
Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. Shane is so dope, man. He's so incredible. He's the OG.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think he's been there for like 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it caught everybody by surprise. Because I don't read the whole script until we get to the table. I just read kind of my section. So when I heard it for the first time, it definitely was like one of those emotional things.
Damn, I don't even think about that. I'm sitting there thinking about it from the character perspective. These are people that's not going to have no work no more.
Well, no, see, that's the thing. Like, Shane is such an amazing actor that he's working.
You know what I mean?
He's working. He's an artist. Like, he's an artist with ambition and with drive, you know? And that's one thing, like, I always say about actors, about artists specifically, like, we can make whatever we want to make whenever we want to make it. Like, now, depending on how much money you have and, like, if you want to get butts in seats, that's another thing. But, like, art is there.
Mm-hmm.
You can just make it, you know? And for Shane, he's not to worry about, like, lack and you know, but... You know, he'll always be a thriving artist because he's a beautiful actor.
Y'all ever nervous that you're gonna read a script and it's like one of those things like, please don't kill me off, please don't kill me off. Y'all ever feel that way when y'all pick up a script?
That was me season 1, 2, 3 4.
Because it could be like, yo, I'm ready to buy this house right now. You buy a house, right. And you be like, please don't kill me, yo. Please don't kill me.
Yeah. I think for the same, like, the first season it was like that. But after the first season, whatever makes sense for the character got to go, he got to go. Mm-hmm. That's how I felt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just hope when they do decide to do that with Drew, that like it's iconic. Like I want
you want Kane to kill you.
Or man, I don't know about that. That's heartbreaking. But
I got you. Though, bro.
I've always wanted to be like I said. I want to be the Black Sean Bean mm-hmm. and like dying mm-hmm. on my. So mm-hmm. if it's gonna happen, like it needs to be happening, like you know, some like dope slow motion kind of like you know something dope. You. But I won't speak that out. You know, season 6, 7, 8.
And is there a real beef between the Power team and the BMF? Actors, like, is that real? Or is that just some social media between
I don't think so.
That might be Twitter fingers.
Yeah.
I hope so, because like we, you know, we're all Black and we're all getting it, and I mm-hmm. love that. I love to see that. So I think that's what it is.
Y'all don't participate in that though. It's usually a dude that played Tariq and Meech.
Woody might do. He Lil might. Yeah.
Nah, I don't participate. I'll be doing it. I'll be in the gym. I ain't got time for that.
Woody said, "Mind my business." Woody said, "Back to this party he's planning in South Carolina
at the museum."
We can do it.
Minding my biz.
You gonna be? You want to do it for real?
Yeah. Let's do it.
Don't say that, Woody, because now we got to plan it. I don't want to let people down.
Nah, I'm serious. I know this is Hollywood. Yeah. Like, yeah, hit me up. Let's do this. But I'm like serious. I'm looking at you in the eyes. We gonna do this.
Oh Lord, now I gotta commit too.
Yeah, exactly. So we taking it there.
We appreciate you, brothers, for joining us.
Thank you for
May 26th.
May 26th is the date. And thank you guys for stopping through. You know, you guys are always invited.
Are both episodes coming out the weekend of May 26th? Or is one and then the next
one's this weekend.
One this weekend.
Oh, one this weekend and the finale next week. Yep. Okay, gotcha. All right,
so that's Woody McCain, Lavelle, Adams Gray. Appreciate you, brothers. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Damn, the hee-haw again.
It's time for Donkey of the Day. I mean, he trying to be Donkey today no more.
They should be embarrassed by what they already did. I'm not making these people do these things.
Called Donkey of the Day, and it really caught me off guard.
Damn, Charlamagne, who got the Donkey of the Day today?
Wow, just hilarious. Donkey of the Day goes to a man with 7 kids and 7 baby mamas. Now, I try not to pay attention to these people. You know what I'm saying? I see these people telling these outlandish stories on YouTube and TikTok because nowadays, folks is saying and doing anything to get some attention. And being that we live in a world where nobody cares about the truth, if the lie is more entertaining, folks just be getting online telling these outlandish stories just to get some clicks and subscribers. Now, I don't know if this story is real, but the idea is, and that's what I like to discuss and critique, the idea. Mm-hmm. Okay, the idea that digital D-head like this young man put on the FBI's internet. Now, as I told you, this man got 7 kids and 7 baby mamas, but he don't take care of none of them. Okay? Not a one. Why? Because he said he told those young ladies from the beginning that he don't want them. Now, let's go to the FBI's main source for Exhibit A's YouTube to hear this young man speak.
Now, for the past few days, I've been going live, telling my story, speaking my truth. And a lot of women having an issue calling me a deadbeat because I tell them I was being irresponsible, yet not wearing protection. But I always tell these women that I got pregnant that I do not want to be a father to these children. And I offer to pay for the abortion. Majority of times, they'll either take the abortion or they'll take a plan B. But only these 7 have kept these children. But the crazy thing about it is they want me to be responsible for some children I told them I did not want. So for some years now, some of them been trying to get in contact with me, access denied, because I don't really know why you're trying to get in contact with me. I didn't told you I did not want them kids. We both was irresponsible about the decisions we made that night. Yeah, I could have pulled out, but I didn't. And I ain't care to pull out because not the one that's going to have to carry a baby for 9 months.
Jesus.
It's the woman. In my opinion, women should be more careful on who they sleep with.
True. Portia, you just said earlier that women need to watch who they sleep with.
I mean, damn. just digesting how savage this man is. Listen,
I mean, okay, let's just be real. Man. He's not the first man to tell somebody to take a plan B. He's not the first man to say he don't want a child. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, that's why we got child support. You still got to pay for this child. He need to be telling this story in jail, right around the lunch table. Jesus. Yes, he does. Because just because you decide to say you don't want to pay for the child don't mean that you shouldn't have to.
I feel that proper poom poom management is essential for a healthier life. I feel this man is out here passing along sexually transmitted demons, okay, to whoever wants them. And yes, this man is a demon, and they should change that purple smiling face emoji with horns to his face, because this is true demon time. And I really wish this young man would have made this video after baby mama number one. Because if he would have made this video after baby mama number one, then he would have never gotten the 7 baby mamas. And if he did, then every single one of them deserved the baby father they got. Because when a deadbeat tells you who they are, believe them. And it does amaze me that this young man is putting the responsibility not to get pregnant solely on the woman. Yeah, can I hear more of this guy?
Another thing is, these just jump offs. These the type of women that I ain't even had to do nothing for. Mm. The bare minimum, but they gave me access to their body. Damn. And they think I want to be a father to a child for one of them? Wait, I don't even have no type of love for these women. How do they expect me to love these children? I can offer to pay for abortion, but at what point can I force a woman to go get an abortion? I cannot. A woman say, my body, my choice. But I say, it's my life, my choice. Before y'all try to stitch this and be like, black man this, black man that, I don't give a
I could have sworn he was going to say, she say her body, her baby. Because yeah. That's how he feel. He's done.
I wish you could have saw your face when he said, these girls give me their body for the bare minimum.
Like, what? What?
Oh, man.
This guy's disgusting. Like, one thing I can say about Nick Cannon, this man has his baby. Wait a minute, we on the subject of multiple babies and multiple mamas. We got to bring him up. Don't act like y'all didn't think the story was his name at first.
You know.
But anyway, at least he take care of his kids.
Yeah, that's true.
He actually wants to populate. I don't know if this man went to school. Does he know what biology is? When you put the vagina and the penis together, they can make a baby?
That's right.
That's how it works.
You know what I wish? I wish that along with these babies that he didn't want, he would have got an STD he didn't want. You know
how
what I'm saying?
How you know he don't?
That is very true. But I feel like if he was getting multiple STDs, he wouldn't be moving like this. And that's the thing brothers and sisters don't understand when y'all out here, you know, raw dogging randoms, okay, doing the DNA dance with any and everybody. You're absolutely increasing your chances of catching gonocifer herpes AIDS, okay? Gonocifer herpes AIDS is what irresponsible brothers should get. And I wish it was one-way gonorrhea herpes AIDS, okay? Because, you know, I don't want the woman to get it. Because it's one thing if he was telling these women his intentions before he slept with them, but he's not. He's telling them after the fact, after they have been manipulated to sleep with him. I don't respect it because you're not giving these women
He said
a
he
choice.
Did, Char. That's what he's saying.
After the fact, though.
Oh, he didn't. No, I thought he said
after
he told
them pregnant.
Before. No, he said, listen, I'm going to have sex with you. And if you get pregnant, I don't want it.
Oh, I ain't hear that
He didn't
part.
Say that.
No, I thought he said after they have the baby.
Oh.
See, I would respect it if he did it beforehand.
Okay.
I'm just saying, man.
No, he actually said he'd tell you after you need to take a plan B.
Oh, after he done, but either way, he done manipulated.
When you feel that drip, when you feel that drip, you know what's finna go down. Your ass need to go take a plan B.
Please give this man with 7 baby, 7 baby mamas and 7 kids the biggest ER.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got our co-host with us, Jason Lee.
That's right.
Of course, from Hollywood Unlocked and a host of other things. And we got a special guest joining us this morning. He has a new book, The Solution Focus Diamond. Elliot Connie.
What's up?
Welcome.
What's Thank up, you. Elliot? Good morning. Tell him who you are, man. Tell him who you are, what you do.
My name is Elliot Connie. I am a psychotherapist. Mm-hmm. I host a podcast. I do lots of things, hoping to inspire people to be better versions of themselves.
I just got a couple of questions. So where did you start and why did you want to be a therapist?
I had a real, real tough childhood, man. And I grew up anxious and depressed and suicidal and struggling. I didn't know how I was going to pull myself out of it. And I realized that hope is this like really powerful thing. And I felt like if I could figure out how to get myself out of that situation, I wanted to help other people get out of that situation. And I learned very quickly that when your pain has a purpose, it doesn't hurt.
What planted that seed in your head at such a young age to know that's what you wanted to do?
God, man. Mm. I don't know. I can't tell you. I really think God touched my life, to be honest with you.
So when you decided to go for school, you said a tough childhood. What was tough about your childhood?
Man, my father was a very, very aggressive man and took out his aggression on his kids too often. You know?
Was he military?
No, he's just aggressive. You know, and to be kind to him, I mean, he's a black man from a difficult place, grew up in Chicago, and I don't think he had the skills to raise a family in a loving, caring way.
Do you think that's what made you move to wanting to be in the mental health field? Because you were like, there's something wrong here and I want to figure it out.
No, you know what? I think it was the opposite. I think it was, there's something right here. I want to figure it out. Because after going through all of that, I found myself in college and I'm like, how come some people go through this stuff and end up on drugs and doing crazy things? And how did I land in college? And I wanted to share that. I wanted to, like, you can do things with your life. And it wasn't what was wrong, it was what was right. I just figured, how did I end up here? And I don't think I'm special. And if I'm not special, I just need to tell people the secret. I just need to let people know what the secret is.
When did you start having those conversations, if you even did, with your dad?
No, man. So my dad, we had a violent interaction. We had violent interactions throughout my life. When I was 19 was the last one. And I called him and I said, man, look, can't have this anymore. I need you to follow three rules. If you can follow these three rules, I can get past everything else.
So you called your dad.
I called
the same
19.
One that raised you, that you just said was aggressive, and said, Dad, you need to follow these three rules.
Three rules. You can't yell at me, you can't hit me, and you can't curse at me. If you can do those three things, I'll figure out the rest. And he said, F you, and he hung up the phone. I was like, all right, bet.
You have one sense?
No, well, we've spoken a couple of times. Like, he was at my younger brother's graduation. I interacted with him, and he's tried to call me here or there. But no meaningful conversation.
Well, I feel like in the black community, a lot of us are taught you never speak back to your parents or never. You set boundaries with him. Do you think that's appropriate for people to do, first of all? Because I think we're told you respect your parents no matter what. They can say whatever they want. They can do whatever they want. But
yeah.
I think that I don't agree with that.
Yeah, well, I 100% was raised that way. Like, you respect your parents, doesn't matter what you do. But I was in such a bad place. I was like, I'm pretty sure that I'm not supposed to die behind that rule. Like, I'm pretty sure I'm not supposed to suicide out of here just because I'm not supposed to talk back to my father. So I got to a place where it was like, I got to set this boundary or else.
I wonder if it's the term rules for an adult. You know what I mean? Because as an adult, you set the rules. So now when your child, because no matter how old you are, he still looks at you, I'm sure, as his child, grown man or not, is the setting of rules.
I think that's an interesting point. Like, if I said something other than rules, but I think to your point, but if you look at your child, you wouldn't take any word, boundary, rule, request, it wouldn't really matter. Like, I was raised in that, you know, 1980s, 1990s, where a black child is to be seen and not heard and all that stuff. I don't think it would have mattered. But I also agree with you. I think part of the issue in today's world is not respecting authority. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about not respecting abusers. I'm talking Correct. About not allowing abusers to have free reign to your life. Mm-hmm. I do think we have to learn to respect authority. I think there's a lot of reasons contributing to why kids don't do that.
You told me the other day that you feel like kids should disrespect their parents.
I think parents should expect.
In the context of our conversation. Go ahead, Elliot.
Let me put that in context. My mother would say, Elliot, go do the dishes. And I would be like, why didn't you ask one of them? And that would get me popped. You know, that would get you looked
at. Actually, popped, and I told you so.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
But if you're teaching your child to be confident, to be strong, to value their voice, they should ask those kinds of questions, and it allows you to parent them. But we shouldn't translate that as disrespect. They're just practicing.
That's not disrespect.
They're like, practicing their voice.
But that was in our era. Right. In the 1900s,
that was disrespect to me.
I would never think to talk back. I would never even think to talk to my parents the way my kids talk to me. As Ellie said, it's not disrespect. It's just them being like asking valid questions.
I don't agree with you with that, Ellie, because and this is going to sound crazy.
All right, here we go.
I got six kids. So if I tell one of my kids to do something, I expect it to be done. I'm not going to do it with something that's going to be detrimental to their health, something that's going to hurt them. It's part of what everybody needs to do to be in this household.
I agree with you.
Meaning if dad's chores or dad's way is to make the money, pay the bills, do this, that, and the other, and I ask you to shovel the snow, don't ask me why. Don't say, well, why didn't you ask this you know, sibling? Why didn't you ask this one? No, because I asked you to do it.
But you could explain it to them just the way you explained it just
but
now.
Envy, listen.
You shouldn't have to.
Is this a rule that applies to everything? Because it's one thing if a kid says, hey, you know, I want to try some fentanyl. Well, no, don't do fentanyl. Let me explain to you why. So you invite them to a conversation about it versus I expect these things to be done as your parent, so go do them.
Yes.
Because when you start inviting a kid into, I mean, I don't have kids clearly yet, but when you have this perceived negotiation expectation of what you expect as a parent, that you invite them into a different type of relationship.
For sure. And not all things are negotiations. I just think we need to have more conversations. If my child said, I want to try fentanyl, it is perfectly okay to say no. And let me sit you down and we're going to converse as to why. Like, conversation is powerful. Look at what you guys have done with conversation.
All right, we got more with Elliot Connie. When we come back, don't move. It's the Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and Brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ NV, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Jason Lee, our co-host here. We're still kicking it with Elliot Connie. He has a new book out. And, of course, he's a therapist. Charlamagne?
We always have these conversations about culturally competent therapists. And one of the reasons I like talking to you is because I don't have to explain a Twitter beef. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. I don't have to explain what somebody said about me on a blog or you see it. You know it already. Like, yes. You know, other therapists I've had, you've had to explain that to them. That takes a lot of time out of a session.
Yeah. But that goes back to representation. I hope all of you guys take that very, very, especially you. Like, there are people watching you that you're never going to meet, never going to see. And 20 years from now, they're still alive. Like, forget, they may be walking in your footsteps and have their own media company, but they're still alive because representation matters. And there's a frustration. I was talking to somebody about this weekend. There's a frustration associated with being Black because we have to explain things to people. And I was talking with somebody the other day, and I was furious. I'm tired of explaining this. But I was talking to this person about racial trauma. And this is a clinician. This is a professional clinician at a professional clinician event, and somebody gave a lecture about racial trauma, and this person came up to me and said, "What'd you think of the lecture?" I said, I thought it was good. That person explained a lot of things that y'all need to hear. And she said, "Well, I liked it too, but I was really frustrated because he said that black people, and particularly men, experience trauma every day." That can't be true. I said, "It's absolutely true."
Damn.
I don't know a black person, particularly black men, that don't experience trauma every day. Mm. And she said, "How could that be?" I said, "Let me explain it to you. If I locked you in your bedroom and I took the most venomous snake and I threw it in the bedroom with you and I locked that door and I close it, I don't let you out for a week. You didn't just experience trauma on the days you got bit. You experienced trauma every second of every day because you knew there was a venomous snake around." Mm-hmm. And she was like, "Oh, I get it now." Well, I'm tired of explaining that to y'all.
That's right.
I don't want to explain blackness 24 hours of my day. I don't want to explain to everybody what we mean. There's a context for living this life that you and I just get. And I think we need more black therapists.
A lot of people go to therapists and the first time they go, they don't have a favorable time. Back. And they feel like
because of that,
they don't want to go back. I just want to talk about that, people who are looking for therapists, because sometimes you find the wrong person. It's not the right fit, and people are scared to go back.
Right. I tell people all the time, like, you don't go to, you know, a restaurant and have a bad experience and then just boycott food, right? You don't do that. you find another restaurant.
Right.
And I think we need to recognize therapy is the same. If I go to see a therapist and it doesn't work, it doesn't mean therapy didn't work. It just means that particular therapist didn't work. And we need to be just as variant in our attempts to find a good therapist as we are in our attempts to find good food.
I wanted to ask, too, like, you know, we've seen so many people discussing mental health nowadays. Number one, do you think it has been a rise of black people going to therapy? And what do you think folks still get wrong about mental health?
So to answer the first question, yeah, I think we do have more black people going to therapy. It's the Tiger Woods effect, right? Like, we're all old enough to remember when Tiger Woods took over golf, black people started going to play golf. Right. And they weren't playing golf before that. Serena Williams and Venus Williams, similar thing. Like, young black girls go to tennis courts to play tennis because representation matters. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you guys, probably more than any other platform in the world, platforms talk about black mental health, more black people are going to therapy because they heard Charlamagne suggested someone, like, they heard it. So now they're like, "Man, maybe I can go do this." And it's the exact same thing that happened in tennis. It's the exact same thing that happens in golf. And what I think we get wrong more than anything else is we think the therapist is supposed to solve our problems. And that's actually not true. Like, life is a turbulent flight. The therapist is supposed to make you a better pilot.
I just got one last question. I know we're wrapping up. Charlamagne always talks about being anxious, and people always talk about anxiety. But I don't look at anxiety as a bad thing. It's how you control it, right? I have 6 kids. Charlamagne has 4. When they go out, until even to this day, when I go out as a grown-ass man, my mom and dad still have anxiety about me going out because they're scared. Right, yes, but they're not scared to a point where they're, you know, listening.
Something could happen.
Right. But it's not to the point where they're calling me at 6 in the morning. Oh, yeah, are you done? But they're anxious. Same thing with my kids. That's never going
to
change.
No, that's healthy anxious, though.
Okay.
Like, anxiety is like everything else. There's a degree of healthiness to it, and then some people go way beyond the spectrum to where, and think about it in this term, when something is interrupting your ability to live a normal daily life, that's when it becomes a problem. So that anxiety, like, my daughter's at NYU. She just called me, told me she's going to a party. I'm going to have a hard time relaxing tonight because something could happen. Like, that's normal. But if you have anxiety where, like, my daughter's at NYU and I can't eat, I can't sleep.
Correct.
Like, that's the problem. And I think we have to learn how to manage that.
Because when people hear anxiety, they automatically think negative, right? Correct. They always think bad.
There is healthy anxiety. Like, you love that daughter or all your children. That daughter specifically, because
I love
her
more, yeah.
You don't want anything bad to happen to her. So when she tells you, "I've done this thing that puts me at risk, even mild risk," I'm going to be worried about that. The only things that will happen are things that God intended for you to experience. And so you can't have faith and anxiety. Because anxiety is fear-based. So if I believe very strongly that, like, God's got me, that means if I'm going through something hard, I'm going through that hard thing for a reason. So there's no reason to, I just have to trust everything. And that's what I would say. I would end by saying, like, if you can figure out a way to trust every experience, you're going through all of these things for a reason, and be grateful for everything, like, everything. You are untouchable emotionally. Like, you are just an indestructible force when you're just grateful for everything. Not just grateful for the good things, not just grateful for the profound things, but I mean like grateful for all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Life is different.
All right. Well, Elliot, Connie, ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate you for joining us, man. Yeah, how can they find you?
You can find me on social media at Elliot Speaks on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Elliot spelled 2 L's, 2 T's. And you can go to my website, ElliotConnie.com, and that's where you can find all my stuff.
All right. Well, it's The Breakfast Club. Elliot Connie, ladies and gentlemen.
The Breakfast Club.
105.1 is The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Now, we are out for the next 7 days.
Yes, we out. But, you know, I want to salute somebody who be holding us down in this building. My man, Chris, if you ever come to the front desk, man, the pleasant brother, you know, with the nice beard, you know, Chris.
Appreciate it.
BX. What? Why are you looking at me like that? Say what up, Chris.
That's kind of flirty.
What up? I just want to give a shout out to my boss daughter, Kendall.
Yes.
What else?
You want to say you're just your boss daughter? You're not going to say your boss name, Chris?
Jeez, you ain't going to say the damn.
Kiana, her name's Kiana.
Salute to Kiana. Kiana got me a nice bottle of Moet for my birthday. It was from the whole building, but salute to her for that.
That was nice.
Definitely. And to my baby, I love you. You know who you are.
No, Chris. Who is it, Chris?
I can't tell her who she is.
You can't say who she is.
She's going to be a little jealous. That man complimenting your beard over there.
Chris said, you know. So my baby, you know who you are.
I don't know why I'm so nervous.
Y'all gonna spend the 4th together, Chris? You and your baby?
Yeah, for sure. For sure, definitely y'all.
That's what's up. You gonna marry her?
Jesus Christ.
Nah, I am.
Now I am.
Jesus Christ.
My God, Chris.
Chris, you have anything else to say, Chris? You're getting in trouble, Chris. You about to get in trouble.
Nah, thank you, Chris, man.
Appreciate y'all.
But for real, thank you for holding us down.
Nah, we appreciate you, brother.
We do. We appreciate you and the whole team at the front desk.
Absolutely.
Appreciate
y'all. That's right.
Thank you so much, Chris. All right. Now, Charlamagne, what's your positive note?
I had a great therapy session yesterday, and I told y'all some things that we talked about in therapy earlier just about operating from a position of joy, right? Because people, you know, nothing makes people more jealous and envious of you than seeing you happy. But there's another thing I learned in therapy, and it's actually a quote from Wayne Gretzky. And I love this quote because too many people don't know where to go because they're too busy focusing on what was. So Wayne Gretzky once had a quote where he said, "I skate to where the puck is going to be, not where it has been."
Mm.
I skate to where the puck is going to be, not where it has been. Y'all have a great day.
Breakfast Club, bitches!
Y'all finished or y'all done?
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, "Somebody's in the house," and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.